Midday 180, served up by Wendy's. Glad you're with us. And we're pumped about our next guest here on the show. The Coach Forum, presented by Franklin American Mortgage Company. It's this Wednesday at the Music City Center. Takes place 8:30 to 3:30 with a great group of speakers, including our next guest, SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey, on the line with us. Commissioner, thanks so much for the time. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you for having me. And I will confess, based on your last phone conversation, to being from New York as well. So you may hear a little bit of Tim Corbin in my voice.
So far, not a trace of Tim Corbin in your voice, though. It's amazing. You must have been down south long enough to where you've sort of gone with a southern accent a little bit more. Not totally southern, but not quite New York.
No, I have lessened. I actually was back home visiting my parents last week, and I hear them talk with an accent more than I hear myself. But the A's, the hard A's and the hard O's are still difficult for me.
You'll be in town this Wednesday here in Nashville for the Coach Forum. What is your message to coaches as they try to grow their skill sets beyond just the X's and O's of their particular sport?
I've had the opportunity, obviously, to work with any number of incredible people in the coaching realm or in intercollegiate athletics. I started my career over 30 years ago at a small college setting, moved progressively upward, and now I sit in the SEC commissioner's chair. And what I will do is really share a piece of my story where I was young. I had an opportunity to lead, really my first major opportunity to lead. I was named commissioner of the Southland Conference, and I went through a year of that experience and literally ended up on the floor. The ability to manage a high pressure or high stress situation, but also to take care of oneself, one's family, one's health, actually determines your success. And that was a lesson I'd probably read about, but I lived it. And so the bulk of my communication will be sharing a bit about how that happened and the growth that came from a really difficult set of circumstances. Not that I was about to die or morbidly obese or anything like that, but a really significant wake-up call for myself.
SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey with us. I'm curious, someone in your position, did you ever doubt yourself whenever you were in that leadership position early on?
Absolutely. In fact, I think if a leader is really, really honest, those moments of doubt will exist throughout one's career. And I think an honest and open leader acknowledges that reality. And it will change over time because the challenges, the problems that confront you change over time. And I'll illustrate that I was asked by a group of student athletes in the fall, how much of what I deal with is black and white versus gray, where, you've just got to use your best judgment. And I said, 80-20, 80 of it's not just black and white. You're doing the best with your judgment, with your understanding, with the information available. And anytime you're in that sort of setting, frequently, you're going to be questioned. You're going to question yourself, yet you understand in a leadership role, you're going to have to make a decision. You're going to make a decision based on the information available and then move forward.
SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey, our guest on the Midday 180. I feel like it would be really easy to take over for someone you didn't like and chart your own path in any organization. It's extremely difficult when you take over for someone that everyone liked and more importantly, everyone really respected in Mike's Live. What was that like when you step into that seat knowing you're taking over for him and continuing his legacy with this conference?
Well, literally the first day that I sat in the seat in the office I now occupy, which he occupied so well for 13 years, I was completely unproductive. Just the enormity of it all rested upon me that day. I also had some things I wanted to do with people to say thanks for helping me along the way. And from there, you break it into small pieces. You do the work in front of you as opposed to always think about how big a deal this role has become over time because of Mike's work and the work of Roy Kramer. I had to, a lot of people gave me advice, and I'll just share a couple of insights. One, for myself, before I started into the search process, which was a full and complete search process, it wasn't like they just walked down the hall and tapped me on the shoulder and said, would you move up here? That search process allowed me to filter my thinking and focus my thoughts on what's next, on how do you continue to advance this great conference beyond the wonderful place that Mike had led it to. So one is just personal comfort that I'm me. The second is one of my presidents came and said, you just have to be Greg. Don't try to be Mike. And that's reflective of what I observed. And my first point is I've got my own style, my own thinking, my own goals and vision, and I have to communicate that. But given the great shape that we were in, and I think we still are in as a league, it's not like you had to make wholesale changes overnight. You had to continue to make sure we made progress. You had to confront complacency where it exists, and continue to communicate what's next. And I'll be honest that, over the last 3 years, or really over the last 5 years, some of which were Mike's time as commissioner, the issues have changed so much and so rapidly that I'm dealing with things that Mike never had to think of. So you're establishing your own position, your own thinking on those issues simply because they are new and they're coming at us more and more quickly every day.
Greg Sankey, our guest, what is the biggest hurdle that the conference faces moving forward from where you sit?
If I could narrow it to one, I'd spend all my time on just that one hurdle. So there are any number. I think when I started, our own membership used the word complacency as it related to our operation from this office. How do we make sure every day we push and challenge ourselves? An illustration is that we are next week in Atlanta for media days and doing some things differently there. It's not that what we did in the past was bad or poorly done, but as we continue to understand this conference comprises now 11 states, people care about us nationally, the opportunity to move around a little bit reinvigorates life and creates some new opportunities around that event. And perhaps someday Nashville would be a host site for that event. When we think about issues that are public, there's litigation around athletics. How do we make sure the game of football continues to adapt so that we attract the kind of positive attention to which we are accustomed, yet we're even better at having rules and oversight that support the health and safety of young people participating? How do we provide opportunities that are meaningful across the board? I think we finished, believe it or not, second place nationally in 9 of the 21 sports that we sponsor. We won 5 national championships. So in 2/3 of what we participate in, we finish first or second. That's an expectation that we have to continue to meet. That relates to funding, that relates to operating a network and having media relationships that are viable with the changes happening around us. And then there are those just day-to-day things we've got to continue to work on.
So you're surrounded in your job by some of the most competitive people on the planet. When you get in a room with the 14 head football coaches in the SEC, and it's just you and them talking about issues, what is that like to be around people who all have competing interests, but also are just trying to do well by their school, trying to come to a common ground on different issues?
And that's a great question and well-developed, actually. I'll tell you, the first time I ever walked in that room, I was a new associate commissioner in 2003, and my pulse rate and blood pressure were both high. So you go through those meetings and have the conversations. Just because I'd seen those coaches on TV, and you had people like Philip Fulmer, Nick Saban. Philip was at Tennessee then as the head coach. Nick was at LSU. Jackie Sherrill was at Texas A&M. Lou Holtz was at South Carolina. Urban had just moved into I think Ron Zook was still the head coach then at Florida. Anyway, you go down that list, and there's all these people that look like they were 4 inches tall on my TV screen, and now they're real-life, living, breathing human beings. And I think that's part of what happens in the coach forum on Wednesday as they bring through speakers. Those who watch and who are engaging in coaching and leadership get to see people who are the real-life people and hear from them, their experiences and their thinking. That's what happens in our head coaches meeting and in my current role and over the years as I've come to know them. We have times to laugh. We have times to disagree. We can debate things pretty aggressively. What in that room you see is some highly intelligent, highly motivated people who have 14 different views of the game of football. And when they talk about the subtleties of the game and how from time to time they like to structure their offense, their defense, or special teams, how they think about the game, how they think about the young people under their leadership, sometimes the ability to just sit and listen is in its own way a doctoral level education, both in human relations, in strategy, and in leadership. And that's one of the things that I really appreciate about the role is I see that over and over. So not just football coaches, men's basketball coaches, but we've got national champions in our rooms and women's basketball and track and field, swimming and diving, golf, tennis. Everybody has performed at the very highest level and all has a little bit of insight to offer, certainly from a leadership standpoint.
SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey, he will be at the Coach Forum presented by the Franklin American Mortgage Company this Wednesday at the Music City Center. For more information, visit thecoachforum.com.
You know, to stay at the top, you got to make a lot of money, which you guys are doing at a record level every single year, and you've got to spin well as different programs out there to make sure that you're competing at the highest level. We've talked a lot about the football stadium situation at Vanderbilt, how we believe there needs to be some improvements there. But in terms of being good stewards of that money the SEC is distributing to all their member schools, how involved do you get with individual schools on stadium improvements, on not necessarily who they hire as a coach, but spending for staffs and everything else? How much does the league office get involved with that?
Well, let's talk about the coach piece first. So personnel decisions are made on campus, and we respect that. Our members established an expectation among themselves, and they did this last year, that they have an obligation now to check with our office on any coaching staff hire that they're going to make, to look at their background from a compliance and integrity standpoint. And so that's an important point of communication. So that would be it. From a requirement standpoint, the good news is we've got relationships where we'll talk through issues. If somebody wants to bounce some ideas off of me, I certainly answer that phone call. But those personnel campuses, in essence, are, and in practicality, are campus-based decisions based upon the input they receive. We really don't talk about facilities at all. The only place that we would is to make sure that facilities are able to accommodate our television and media needs. And that may be different in a baseball stadium. So we've got a couple new baseball stadiums happening around the league, or some remodeling that may go on in basketball and football places, so that we, stadiums and arenas, so that we think about camera placement and how trucks move. But other than that, you know, each of those decisions are campus based. And again, we send money out. So the expectation is we continue to send money out. Revenue that we generate goes out to our schools in a high level way. And then they make the decisions on how those funds are expended.
Greg Sankey with us. I know Mike's Live was known for those early morning coffee meetings, and depending on the intensity, I think that set up the location. He had two to choose from. Do you have a go-to meeting spot in Birmingham?
I do, and I had a place a long time ago at a Starbucks in Mountain Brook, and then Mike and I started meeting there, and so he took mine and made it his, which was fine. It was a productive place, so I've grabbed it back.
That was the business meeting spot, right? The Starbucks.
Well, the business, but you know, it was business in a different kind of atmosphere. What is interesting, and this is one of those lessons I've learned, is Mike was an early morning guy, and so you'd be in his office like at 5:30 on a Monday evening, and you'd be working on something. He said, "Hey, why don't we meet in the morning? Let's start at 6 a.m." And I came to a point where I'd exercise in the morning, so I'd usually wake up and get a run in or do some exercising at 6 a.m. So whenever he said that, it blew my exercise plan. So he and I finally negotiated a settlement where we'd start at 6:30 when he wanted to go early. And that meant that I adjusted my schedule, and I still follow this, where I'll wake up at 4:40 a.m. and I have a 5:15 workout, then I could meet his 6:30 meeting demands. And I've carried some of that forward. So I was in here with a meeting in my office with someone at 6:45. Part of what you learn is that's the only part of the day you can really control in this job.
Oh, I never thought of it that way. That's an interesting take on the job itself, is the early morning hours.
Well, once 8 a.m. hits, it's everybody else's time.
Your phone's ringing.
About
yeah.
8 p.m. Yeah, and people walk in and have issues. And so from watching Mike, and I was fortunate to have worked so closely with him, I saw that, but I never really internalized it as the part of the day you could control until all of a sudden I was the commissioner. And then from, you know, basically 4:30 in the morning until about 7:30, that's a window that, believe it or not, I control, and it gets me to bed early at night and keeps me out of any trouble.
SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey with a great visit. You can catch him this Wednesday here at the Music City Center, the Coach Forum presented by the Franklin American Mortgage Company. For more information, thecoachforum.com is the website. And, Commissioner, we'll be there. We'll broadcast live on Wednesday. We'd love great. For you to stop by and say hello.
I look forward to it. Wednesday morning begins here. I speak to about 80 brand new coaches. We do that three times a year. We had over 120 new coaches in May. And then I'll hop in the car and drive rapidly up there and shift my speaking focus to the information that I think will be helpful in the forum. So I'm really looking forward to the visit.
We'll see you on Wednesday. Thanks so much for doing this.
Thank you.
SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey has been our guest.